May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As summer draws to a close, it's a good time to reflect on what has been and on what lies ahead. When I sat down this week to prepare today's sermon, I realized that 3 years ago today was my first Sunday here at St. Peter's. And thinking back on these 3 years made me a bit emotional. For as I have told many of you before, my job as assistant priest here is by far the best job I've ever had. And I think this is largely due to our vision to be a welcoming and inclusive church. We seek to welcome others as Christ has welcomed us. This is a simple vision, but it's not always an easy one. And yet, if we are attentive to this vision, we will see glimpses of hope all around us. And although it may not seem like it on the surface, I think hope founded in the inclusive welcome of God is what today's story of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman is all about. A Gentile woman, an outsider in Jewish society, pleads with Jesus to heal her daughter. But instead of healing the girl, as we might expect, Jesus says no, that healing a Gentile woman would be like taking food from his children, the Jewish people, and throwing it to the dogs. And the woman, not missing a beat, says, "Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And Jesus, impressed by the woman's faith, seems to change his mind and heals the girl. I must admit, this is not the easiest reading for a sermon, for Jesus appears to be anything but welcoming. And yet, appearances can be deceiving. So what does Jesus mean? How do we reconcile these words with his gospel of grace? Some scholars prefer to play down what Jesus says, to soften his words. They think that this will somehow save his reputation as the loving Son of God. Others believe that Jesus is confronted with his own prejudice by the Syrophoenician woman, that the woman's faith changes his views and his mind about outsiders. Now, these interpretations have their good points, but I think they both fall short. Now, what strikes me about this story is that the woman is an outsider. She knows it, Jesus knows it, everyone knows it. But that doesn't stop her from speaking to Jesus, and it doesn't stop Jesus from taking her seriously. For he knows that she is revealing something very important about what it means to belong. Belonging is central to what it means to be human. We all need to belong. And sometimes we find our sense of belonging in the most unlikely of places with the most unlikely people. And I think this is where James is pointing us in today's epistle reading. Now, if I had to choose a favorite epistle, it would be James. On the surface, it is practical and simple. And yet, as we dig deeper, his letter is revealed as anything but simple. At certain times throughout the history of the church, the epistle of James was questioned. And part of the reason was because of its focus on justice and compassion. For James' words haven't always fit easily with the religious and political motivation of the church. I think people were, and are, simply afraid of the implications of what James is saying. I know I am. For a vision towards justice and compassion calls us away from a life lived solely for our own benefit to a life lived for others. Living compassionately with people affected by injustice is difficult, and yet the call to justice is central to our faith. We cannot read much in the Bible without running into it. Look at today's passage from Isaiah. God will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. To some ears, these words sound harsh, but for others they are words of healing and words of salvation. For James, God's justice is intrinsic what it means to have faith. And faith is what comes alive in a person's life when we awaken to the very reality of God. James does his best to rattle the assumption that wealth brings value, while poverty brings disdain. He challenges the favoritism embedded within society then and now. And he does this by calling his readers back to the central teaching of the faith: love your neighbor as yourself. Last week, my husband and I went on a short visit to St. Andrews, our first home, when we moved to the UK. And while we were there, we met up with a friend who had showed us much about what it means to love one's neighbor. Ivan and I met Alex, selling the big issue outside the local Tesco's. And Alex had many things stacked against him in his life. He grew up in difficult circumstances. Raised by his sisters, he had little involvement from his parents. His education was minimal, and his trusting nature caused him to be taken advantage of by many. All these factors contributed to Alex one day finding himself homeless and alone. And yet he refused to let this stop him. He made friends, and through these friends discovered the big issue. He applied and soon began selling the magazine on the streets of St. Andrews. Now, these were difficult times for him. The work was tiring and the pay was little. And yet, through his good nature and engaging personality, he soon became the talk of the town. From time to time, my husband and I would buy a big issue, and it didn't take long before Alex became our friend. Looking back, I don't think we befriended him as much as he did us. His friendly and open manner was contagious. Alex liked to talk about God. He told of his personal experience of faith, how God had saved him from the streets and was now guiding him towards a new life. Faith was very real to Alex, and his confidence and love for God were an example to many people. After some time, he was given a flat and found work with the council, cleaning the public toilets, a job he is still doing today. And Alex is immensely proud of his job, proud of his journey from homelessness to belonging. And like the Syrophoenician woman, I can imagine him saying to Jesus, "Even those who clean the toilets have a place at the table with God." The Syrophoenician woman spoke up to Jesus at a time when women did not speak up. They were outsiders. And yet, she didn't act like an outsider before Jesus. And I think I know why. The woman knew with whom she was speaking. And Jesus' initial response is not what it seems on the surface. In meeting the woman in the reality of who she was before others, he throws off the cultural prejudice and gives her the power to ask and the freedom to receive. The Syrophoenician woman, the poor in James' community, and my friend Alex all have something in common. They are people from whom we encounter Jesus, for they are the very tangible presence of God. Amen.